Reading is from John chapter 5, verses 19 to the end. That can be found on page 1069 in the Church Bibles. John 5, starting at 19, verse 19. Jesus gave them this answer: "I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can do only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so the Son gives life to whom he is pleased to give it. Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honour the Son just as they honour the Father. He who does not honour the Son does not honour the Father who sent him. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and he has given him authority to judge because he is the Son of Man. Do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. By myself I can do nothing. I judge only as I hear, and my judgment is just, for I seek not to please myself, but him who sent me. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. You have sent to John, and he has testified to the truth. Not that I accept human testimony, but I mention it that you may be saved. John was a lamp that burned and gave light, and you chose for a time to enjoy his light. I have testimony weightier than that of John, for the very work that the Father has given me to finish, and which I am doing, testifies that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You diligently study the scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. These are the scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me to have life. I do not accept praise from men, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you will accept him. How can you believe if you accept praise from one another, yet make no effort to obtain the praise that comes from the only God? But do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believe Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? This is the word of the Lord.
Well, what a wonderful passage we had read a moment ago. It's quite long, but it's absolutely jam-packed of stuff. There's so much that I would want to say. Why don't we pray before we get into it? Heavenly Father, please help us to hear your Son speaking today. Open our ears and help us to truly listen. Help us to truly see what you want us to see and to hear today. Help us to hear that we might have eternal life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we as humans are quite simple creatures, really, don't you think? Throughout history, there's been a kind of common thread that says, forget about tomorrow. Let's just think about today. We've got different phrases. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. We've got carpe diem. We've got live, laugh, love. In my day when I was in school, it was hashtag YOLO, which stands for you only live once. And today, it's live your best life. You go and live your best life. You see it everywhere you look, on prints that you can hang up in your house, all over the internet. You can't avoid it. You're told to forget about tomorrow. Just focus on today. Do whatever makes you happy. I'm going to say today, forget that. Forget living your best life. Start living your eternal life. I've got 3 points today that I hope are going to help us see how to do that and why it even matters. My 3 points are called if you note them. First one, like father, like son. Second, listen up and live. And third, true testimony. We're going to be thinking together about verse 19 and 23, verse 19 to 23 first, if you'd like to follow along. We're going to be thinking about what is the Bible saying about Jesus and how he's like God. From the age of about 11, me and my dad used to play a video game called World of Warcraft. We played it for years and years. And we both had separate accounts, and we both had characters, and you could name them. And I named like father, and he named his like son. And it was really cute because we were like father, like son. And we've got kind of sayings like that that are quite nice in our language, don't we? Another one is that actually my sister's nickname from my parents is Chip, or Little Chip, because she's a chip off the old block. That is to say, she's like them. But I'm not an exact replica of my dad. You would look at us and say, oh yeah, they're related. But you wouldn't look at me and say, oh yeah, that is Lee. Or you wouldn't look at my dad and say, oh yeah, that is Jordan. But it's different with God. Christianity is unique in the way that we say, or God says, that he is a Trinity. That means there are three persons that are unique, that all share the same God nature. They are the Father, the Son, and the Spirit. What does that mean then? Well, it means that when we see Jesus, we can and should say, oh yeah, that is God. The Trinity is a bit of a confusing subject, but that doesn't mean we get let off the hook when it comes to trying to learn about it. It's a foundational part of Christianity. Well, I recently, okay, that was a surprise. Okay, fine. I recently went to see a play at the Trafalgar Theatre called The 39 Steps. Maybe some of you have heard about it. It's kind of a mystery comedy. It was really fun. There are about 10 different characters that needed to be played, but only 4 actors. So that means you had this system where actors were holding different hats in their hand and they would change to them and keep talking in different voices. Or sometimes they had like a coat on one side and then they would turn around and be a different character. And some people think that's a bit like what God is like, that he's just one God wearing different hats at different times, being different people. Sometimes he's the Son, and sometimes he's the Father, and sometimes he's the Spirit. But that's not what God is like. Unlike me and my dad being similar, Colossians 1:15 and Hebrews 1:3 says that the Son is the image of the invisible God, and that he is the exact imprint of his nature. So when you see Jesus, you see God in his fullness. So maybe you're here and you wonder what God is really like. How can I know? What is God truly like? Well, look at Jesus and you'll see what God is really like. That is God. Let's look at verse 19 together. Jesus gave them this answer. I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. What does the Son do? Only what he sees his Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. So everything that Jesus does, he does because or with the Father. It's not as if Jesus has one plan and God has another, and then they kind of butt heads and they clash. No, Jesus is God. So Jesus' plan and God's plan are one because they're united. They're aligned. But if you like Venn diagrams, this minute might be the highlight of your day. In a Venn diagram, you have two things, two separate things that often have some sort of intersection. Hold up. So, for example, people who like Manchester City FC and people who live on Sycamore Drive, what's the intersection? Me. That is me. Okay, so hopefully this will help. This circle is what the Son does. This circle is what the Father does. This is the intersection. You'll see that it's an entire overlap because there is nothing that the Son does that the Father doesn't do. He only does what the Father does. And you see it with children, don't you? Children copy their parents' language, their speech, and their kind of patterns and their actions. And in the same way, Jesus only does what he sees his Father doing. Like Father, like Son. And why? Verse 20. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he does. Yes, to your amazement, he will show him even greater things than these. The Father loves the Son. He shows them all that he does. The Father loves the Son. And the reason why he gave him a job to do all of these things is vital. Let's look at verse 23. That all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. The Father loves the Son and wants him to be honored as he himself is honored. Well, there are some people that say that they worship and honor God, but they reject the Son. If you're thinking that you're honoring and worshiping God, but you're not following Jesus, that you're rejecting Jesus, actually, you're rejecting God. You are not honoring God. It's common to hear people say things like, oh, but yeah, we all believe in the same God, really, don't we? Especially Muslims that are trying to be friendly. But it's not true. Think of Psalm 2, verses 11 and 12. Serve the Lord with fear and celebrate his rule with trembling. Kiss the Son, or he will be angry, and your way will lead to your destruction, for his wrath can flare up in a moment. Blessed are all who take refuge in him. Kiss the Son. Honor the Son. Unless you do, then you don't honor the Father who sent him. You don't honor God. The Father loves the Son. He wants him to be worshipped and glorified. The Father wants you to see the glory of the Son and to honor him. And so if you want to see the glory of the Son and to honor him, then listen up and live. About 1 year ago, I saw a video on Instagram of three girls sat outside of a Taylor Swift concert. And clearly they couldn't get tickets, they couldn't get inside, but they were content to just sit outside and you could hear the music. And everything was fine. And then suddenly one of the songs changed, and one of the girls burst into tears, started wailing, and declared that this song saved her life. Do words really have that much power? Here at Holy Trinity 2 weeks ago, we heard of the royal official whose son was sick miles away, and he came to Jesus, and he trusted Jesus at his word, and his son was healed. And last week, we saw that Jesus healed someone who was ill for 38 years. He completely healed him with a few words. Does Jesus have the ability to give life? Are his words powerful? I've called this point, listen up and live, because that's exactly what Jesus tells us to do. He tells us to hear Jesus' words, to hear and believe him. So these two verses, verse 24 and 25, potentially two of my favorite in the whole Bible, definitely my two favorite in this passage. Let's look at them together. 24, I tell you the truth. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life. And will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. I tell you the truth, a time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life... Oh, that's a bit too far. Hear Jesus' words and believe the Father who sent him. It's as easy as that. You have to hear Jesus' words today, and you have heard them, but have you really heard them? And will you believe in the Father who sent him? Because the time is coming and has now come when the dead will hear Jesus' voice and live. He's talking about us. He's talking about us now. The Bible was very clear that we are spiritually dead. We're kind of walking down the death path. We're just corpses trying to look busy until we're put in the ground. So how do we get life? How do you stop being dead? And how do you get life? How do you live? You hear the voice of the Son of God. And when you hear the voice of Jesus, you will live. So are you listening? The Jewish people believed that you lived and then eventually you die. I think that's pretty common. And then at some point in the future, God will raise everyone that has died to either life or death. So the righteous will be raised to eternal life and the wicked will be raised to eternal death. And some people kind of believe things like that today, don't they? Kind of generally that good people will go to heaven and bad people will, well, who knows? Now, there are some people who say, actually, we don't really know, do we? Nobody knows what happens afterwards. Well, let me tell you that Jesus Christ knew, and he knows what happens. He's been there, he's done that, and he tells you that now you can enter into eternal life right now. You don't have to wait until death to find out. When you hear Jesus and you believe in him, when you become a Christian, you enter into eternal life at that very moment. It doesn't have to be after you die. You get to start enjoying the joy of and the experiences of living for Christ and with Christ now whilst you're alive. Those who hear the voice of the Son of God will live. We're walking down the death path just oblivious, but then by listening and believing in Jesus, by the grace of God, we can reach out and grab onto the bullet train that pulls us in the other direction into life. That is Jesus. He pulls us if we listen to him and if we believe in him. Rather than heading into death's domain, now you're in lifeland. If you're a Christian here today, that is you. You're already in lifeland. Firmly and irremovably placed in lifeland. Well, the Nicene Creed that we said earlier ends by saying, we look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. And Jesus is kind of talking of judgment, sounds a little bit scary sometimes, but this is actually a time that Christians should look forward to. If it's something that you don't look forward to or that you don't have assurance, it is there. Please come and talk to me. Please come talk to Nigel or somebody, a trusted Christian friend. Speaking of assurance, before I moved on, I wanted to quickly talk about verse 29. Those who have and come out, those who have done good will rise to live, and those who have done evil will rise to be condemned. It says, just don't be fooled into thinking that Jesus is now suddenly changing his tune and saying that good people who do good things will go to life, will receive life. That's not true. The person who does a good thing is the one who can be assured of life, is the one who believes in Jesus. He hears him and listens to him. So says Jesus anyway. But is Jesus just making it up as he goes along? Is there anybody actually that vouches for the things that he says, or is he just making it up? Well, sorry, I've messed up all my papers. That's what we are going to think about in this third chapter, True Testimony. Jesus doesn't just say, just take my word for it. Actually, he points to four different places to say, here you go, look at these, and they point back at me. So, first one, we'll rattle through these. Point number one, John the Baptist. Jesus points to John the Baptist in verse 33. Says that you've enjoyed his time. And right at the beginning of John's gospel, John the Baptist told people to follow Jesus when he came around. He said, look, here comes the Lamb who takes away the sins of the world. Follow him. Number two, Jesus says, Jesus points to his works, verse 36, as proof. So far in the gospel, Jesus has done three miracles. And the gospel writer, John, calls them signs because they point to who Jesus is, because only God can do miracles. Number three, Jesus says that God the Father testifies about Jesus in the scriptures, in the Bible. As there's so much to be said about verses 37 to 40 that I can't say it all today, and it's such a great passage. But I do commend to you a sermon that I heard earlier this year. So if you have access to the internet, go on YouTube, search Keswick Convention Week 3, Mike Reeves. And he has a fantastic, encouraging, challenging sermon just about these verses. But what I will say, though, is that the Bible that the Jewish people used is what points to Jesus. The prophecies and the promises talking about messiahs and Christs, they all point to Jesus, and Jesus fulfills them too. So in that sense, the scriptures testify about him. Number four, Jesus has already brought out the big gun so far. He said, look at John the Baptist, this kind of prophet, he points at me. Look at my works, the miracles that I've done, their signs, they point at who I am. Number three, God himself points to who I am. I fulfilled the scriptures. Number four, here we go. He says Moses, one of the biggest prophets, biggest characters in the Old Testament. He says Moses points to me. He says Moses wrote about me, verse 45. He's basically saying that if Moses was here right now, he would say to them, this is the guy I was talking about. This is the guy that I wrote about. He's basically saying that if Moses was here, he would condemn them. In fact, he's going even further than that. He says in verse 47 that they don't believe what Moses wrote. And that's why they don't believe in Jesus. All of these statements are huge kind of mic drop moments. He's dropping bombs here. And they hear Jesus. They hear what he's saying, but they're not really listening to him. They see what he's doing with the signs, but they're not really seeing who he is. There is a difference between hearing and listening. You can hear what someone is saying, but not really listen to it. Hearing is passive and listening is active. Kind of why arguments happen, isn't it? Because why arguments isn't the best way to convince someone of something, because they're hearing what you're saying, but they're not really listening. They just want to say whatever they want to counter your point. You just talk past each other. Well, today, will you listen to what God is saying to you? The distractions in this life are many, and the devil doesn't want you to hear God speaking. He doesn't want you to have eternal life. So, are you listening? The writer of the Chronicles of Narnia, C.S. Lewis, famously wrote about Jesus, saying that he's either a liar, a lunatic, or he's Lord. He's either one, he's intentionally lying about everything that he's doing and deceiving people into believing him for some horrible reason. He's either absolutely off his rocker and he's crazy and he's not intentionally doing things wrong, but these are kind of just the words of a madman. Or three, he's neither a liar nor a lunatic, then maybe he's telling the truth and he's Lord. He's telling us about these realities and he's telling us that he is God. But Jesus is making massive claims here. You can't just write him off as a good moral teacher, someone to kind of look up at. So what do you think? Jesus is saying to you right here, right now, in Holy Trinity, hear my words and believe in him who sent me and have eternal life. Verse 24, one final time. I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life. So cross over from death to life now. Stop living your best life and start living your eternal life. If you've already heard the words of Jesus and you believed, then remember that you are living your eternal life right now. Take courage in that. You're not condemned and you never will be. Things may go from bad to worse in this life, but your eternal home is secure forever. As our book club would say, live life backwards. Live your life now, always with the end in view. And finally, once you've heard the words of eternal life, don't move on from them. Don't leave them behind. Keep returning to Jesus every day. Keep hearing the words of life that he has and keep hearing what he has to say over your life. At the end, Jesus will return and raise up all of us. And to Christians, he will say to you, well done, good and faithful servant. Welcome home. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for sending your Son. Please will you soften our hearts. Will you open our ears and our eyes to hear and to see you today and help us to believe. Lord, give us more faith. Thank you for the absolute assurance that we have that if we hear the words of the Son and that we believe in him, that we have eternal life right here and right now. Please help us to share that with those who are currently on the death walk. Lord, thank you for this, and please be with us. In Jesus' name, amen.